Let's get our Bibles together here and open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. And let's look at verse 1. Aren't you glad that Jesus lives? Amen. Praise the Lord for the wonderful gift of salvation, isn't it? I remember the first day that I walked in church, lost, religious but lost, thinking that I knew it all until I heard the first message. And I walk out of that church thinking, if I die, I'm going to hell. I tell you what, it took me 4 months to settle that issue. But goodness, that I was crystal clear that that preacher just was waiting for me to walk in the church and preach to me that day. At least felt that way. And I felt that he was just waiting for me. It was everything that he was saying. It just grabbed my heart. Our religion was out the door that day. But praise the Lord for that. Let's look at Matthew 28, verse 1. And it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, it was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for your shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have as your children of salvation. And Lord, I just pray, Father, this morning, if there's someone here that never received Christ as personal Savior, even someone on social media this morning, maybe is watching us, may they stop, may they listen, may they take to heart what is being said here this morning. May they take to heart the words of Jesus this morning and call upon you for salvation. May they see their sin before you, repent of their sin, and ask forgiveness. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, title of this message, Resurrection Sunday. I tell you what, the most important event in all human history is not Tom Brady who won the Super Bowl. Okay? You might like Tom Brady as much as I do, and I do like the guy, actually. I never liked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers until, I didn't even know they existed until Tom Brady won the Super Bowl with them. Suddenly, I'm still a Patriot fan. I mean, I just like the local guys. I never went to Foxborough to watch a game. Might as well, call myself a fan. But anyway, the most important event in all human history, no, it's not a ball game. It's not a baseball game. It's not a boxing match. It's not anything that happened in this world. It's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. People might say, what a foolish statement. It's not. Because eternity is at stake right here. If we're going to have any hope of departing from this world and see our loved ones that already departed in faith, if we have any hope of having an eternity with God, we need to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can people claim to be Christians and don't believe in the resurrection? I say to them, what kind of Christianity do you believe in? And actually, it's not my Jesus, because I know he was crucified. And I know when we said it was finished, he died on that cross. The foolishness of people saying that he was asleep on the tomb. No, he was dead. Amen. His body died, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I tell you what, there's so many denominations in this world, but their leader is still in the grave. Yep, that's right. And only do they follow? They follow a dead leader. I'm following a living Jesus. Amen. If I'm going to believe in anything, I take my chances with Jesus, because he lives to talk about it. So without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, preaching the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ is useless. Our faith is in Jesus Christ for eternal life is useless. Our witness is useless about God, and everything we say would be false. And we are still, listen to this, in our sins and eternally lost. Without the resurrection, we Christians are to be pity and feel sorry for ourselves. Because we're just wasting our time. If Jesus never rose from the dead, we're just here entertaining each other. But if Jesus is alive, let me tell you, shame on the Christian that don't celebrate with zeal and great gratitude of heart. I mean, we should be the ones in the workplace that will burst out in the song. We should be the ones that in our home should grab the Bible and read it or get on our knees and thank the Lord for His goodness. We should live like our God is a real God, not a God for the occasion. Unfortunately, we live in a country where, I say this many times, where our Christianity is in a state of apathy, lukewarm. I take God today, I take my chances tomorrow. I go do this today. No. Christianity got to be real, and the lost people got to see that the way we walk, the way we behave, the way we live, should be an example, a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should have something that they want. Otherwise, they're going to look at you and say, you a Christian? Okay. You're not different than me. Oh, okay. You curse like I do. You make the same things like I do. What I'm going to do at your church for? We should be different because we are the children of the living God. Then was Jesus different when he walked on the earth? Wasn't he different? He was so different, they tried to kill him, right? Pick up stones to kill him. His preaching was different. His attitude was different. The way he approached people was different. The Sadducees and the Pharisees looked down on people. Oh, Jesus reached up to them. And the Bible says he sat with the poor and the drunks and everything else. He sat with them. You know why? Because he was different. Well, let's live like we are different. Listen, I'm not against traditions. But this morning, a lot of people are doing the Easter egg and worshiping the Easter bunny. And Easter bunny, I like to beep at the guy when he's in the side of the road waving, you know. I beeped at him, you know, like, hey, it must be really hot inside that thing. But I mean, it's a traditional thing, you know. We have the Easter eggs and the Easter bunny and stuff. But let me, some traditions are good. Don't get me wrong. Some traditions are good. And I have my traditions. You might have some traditions. They're good. I mean, we traditionally have early sunrise breakfast. Is that a good thing? Yeah, I got our bellies nice and full, you know. Some of us never even have breakfast. But anyway, but let me tell you. But if we replace tradition and push the truth out, then we're making a mistake. Because today is not about the Easter bunny. Today is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're celebrating His resurrection. Actually, to be honest with you, if you don't come to church very often, we celebrate in this church Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. Amen. Every Sunday we celebrate His resurrection. So today when the Christian church celebrates what we have come to know as Easter, it is the day when we commemorate to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, instead of Easter, I prefer Resurrection Sunday. Amen. I don't like that word Easter. I like the word Resurrection Sunday. We say Easter a lot of times so folks can understand, because if you go to people and say Resurrection Sunday, they look at you look like you have five heads because they don't understand. So we use the word, the worldly word, Easter. So of course, like some traditions held by the church, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to get the name changed. You see, the word Easter is believed from the word Easter, well, that's what it is, which is the Anglo-Saxon name from the Teutonic pre-Germanic godless of spring and fertility. Listen to this. Festival was celebrated on the day of the spring equinox. Many of the traditions used in her worship survive to this very day. For an example, Easter bunny is a symbol of fertility. Easter eggs painted, which bring colors to represent the sunlight of spring. The giving of baskets filled with treats are just a few of the traditions that survive from that Easter thing. You may be thinking by now, but there's nothing wrong with those things. No, there's nothing wrong today. As most families do that, don't even think about such a thing. But let me tell you, when we push aside Jesus and put those things there, then it's wrong. You follow that? If you do it, but you know what you do in one way, but you have a center of your mind and your heart is centered on what God did, then it's a different story. But when we push those things and we push God aside, then it is wrong. Let me remind you, we need to remind ourselves, I'm sorry, that Resurrection Sunday is not about Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, and the giving of gifts. It is about the celebration of our Lord. He is alive forevermore. Our great Redeemer lives. Let's look at this from several points here in our text. Number one, we see the woman's approach. Look at verse 1. And at the end of the Sabbath, and it began at dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. So Matthew records that the fact that two women came to the tomb early Sunday morning, the other gospel writers revealed the fact that other women came also. There is no contradiction in the Bible, okay? They properly arrived as part of different groups. However, they were sad, defeated, and discouraged. Don't come to the conclusion like some people say, oh, there's some errors in the Bible. There's no errors in the Word of God. What happened is we misread sometimes, and we focus on one thing, and we forget to read the whole thing. We need to take the Bible as a whole. Don't take Scripture and pick verses out and say, that's what it says. Don't twist it. You see that some had a witness and others had heard of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and they were coming to pay their last respects for the body of the Lord. As we consider their motives for coming, we can see that they were doing early Sunday morning. Let me tell you this. Letter A, you see, they went to look. They went to look. Look at in our text in verse 1. And at the end of the Sabbath, and it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. They came to look. Now that the Sabbath was over, these women decide to go to see the tomb where Jesus laid, or body laid. I don't believe for a minute that these women were thinking that Jesus was alive. They went there to look for a dead body, not a living body. They went there for a purpose. In their minds, far as they know, hope was gone. Jesus was dead. The one that they hoped for was gone. Did you ever see somebody that was dear to you, somebody that you loved, dead? It's not coming back. It's gone. Folks, I tried to tell this to my mama for 11 years. Dad is not coming back. He's in heaven. She's still crying like she's hoping that he will come back. I try to tell my mom, what you need is receive Jesus as your Savior so you can go where he is, because he's not coming back. See, these women, they went there to look for a dead body. Far as they knew, he was dead. Actually, they made their way to that tomb. They were not prepared for what they were about to happen, they were about to see. More than likely, these women were walking in silence towards the tomb, sad because of what happened to Jesus. Let me tell you, if somebody that is loving to you, somebody is dear to your heart, and you know that person died, and you are about to go visit the body of that person, will you go singing and laughing, or will you be like sad and crying? More than likely, I'd say most people will be sad thinking about what that person was and where that person is now. As far as they know, Jesus died brutally. But now, he was dead. There was no talking about, maybe he's alive. No. So more than likely, these women went to the tomb sad, probably in silence. Maybe they were coming to pray or to meditate near the place where his body had laid or been buried. Maybe they were coming to make sure that everything was in order in the tomb. However, or whatever the reason, we are told that they came to the sepulchre. Let it be, they went to work. We see this in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Look what it says. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary and the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, for they might come to anoint him. Listen, folks. They went there to anoint a dead body, not a living body. They brought spices and things that to take care of a dead body. So these women, they went to the sepulchre, and in their own mind, Jesus was gone. Jesus was dead. Hope was gone forever. The one that they thought was gonna take care of Israel and God's people, it was gone. And let me tell you, but they went. These verses teaches us that some of the women came to perform one last labor of love for the Lord Jesus. Because the Sabbath they did not didn't do the proper burial for Jesus. They came to finish anointing his body for burial. They wanted to serve him one last time. As you can see, these women were looking for someone who was dead, not a living Jesus. Let us see there in your outline. Some went to linger. Some went to linger. Go to John chapter 20, verse 11. Even those women went there, but some stood there. Why? Maybe they were perplexed. Maybe they were hurt. Maybe they were depressed. Maybe they were just very sorrowful. They didn't know what to do. But they linger at the tomb. Look at John chapter 20, verse 11. It says, but Mary stood without the sepulcher, weeping. You see, she was not weeping for joy. She's weeping because somebody that was dear to her died. Somebody that was close to her heart died, and she was sad. And it says, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other on the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? What would you do if you were there? What would you do if you were married? Would you take off and run as fast as you could? This was something that is not common for us to see. She was looking inside a tomb. You know, talking about that, this makes a thing for a horror movie, isn't it? But they look inside. She looked inside of a tomb. She was looking for a dead body. She was weeping emotionally. She was broken. She was hurting. She was hopeless. And she looked at the sepulchre. She looked at the place where the one that she loved was laying. And she saw something there. She saw two angels. And the Bible says that the angels asked her, "Why are you crying?" She said unto them. Ain't it interesting? Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know now where they have laid him. Imagine entertaining a conversation with two bright angels. And look what it says in verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and sat and saw Jesus standing and knew not that he was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have come borne him since, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Mary was so distressed, was so sad in her heart and mind, she didn't even recognize the Lord Jesus. Look what it says right here in verse 20, verse 16 of chapter 20 says, and Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. At that moment, she recognized Jesus. Let me ask you this question. If that were you, what would you do? She wanted to touch him. Emotionally, can you imagine somebody that's supposed to be dead? And now it's alive in front of her, and she, how would you react? I thought about this. How would I react if I was in her place and my Jesus was there standing when I knew that he was crucified? This verse tells us that Mary Magdalene lingered at the tomb after the others had already gone away. He was a woman that owed much to Jesus. There has been a time when in her life when she was possessed by 70 demons. Her life had been radically changed by Jesus, and she loved him more than life itself. And let me tell you, all of us right here have been changed by Jesus. Radically changed by Jesus. All of us here, those of you who are saved here, we've been changed by Jesus. And let me tell you what she wanted to do. She wanted to touch him. She wanted to worship him. And let me tell you, we've been changed by Jesus. Why we don't want to touch him? Why don't we want to worship him like she did? What was the zeal and the love that we have for Jesus? Do we lost it? Folks, don't make church a routine. Right. Make church a place that you want to go, that you want to be, that you want to be there with God's people and worship the living God. Make church a place like that. Don't be just a pew warmer. You say, I come to church because I want to worship Jesus. I don't sing good, but I will sing. You know why? Because I don't sing for others. I sing for Him. He is my Savior. We're here for the audience of one. He takes the honor. He takes the glory. She was the first to see Him after He had risen him from, he has risen from the dead. She loved Him so much for what He had done for her. Listen, how much you and I, how much we love Jesus. Tell you what, the Bible says we ought to love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. If we fail to do that, we fail our love. May our love not be just lip talking, because that's an easier thing to do. Can you identify with these women? Thank God for those people who just want to be near to Jesus. Thank God for those who just want to love Him and worship Him and serve Him and Him faithfully. It is those people to whom Jesus revealed Himself. It is those people whom Jesus uses His mighty way. It is those people whose hearts burn with the flame of love for the risen Savior. I tell you what, note this, isn't it odd that it was just the woman who came to the tomb that morning? Who was the man? The Bible says the woman went to the tomb. Who was the guys? You're not supposed to be the leaders. You're not supposed to be the ones who protect the ladies. Where were they? Cowardly hiding from the Jews. They were afraid they were going to be crucified or killed the same way Jesus was. Is that faith? No, that's dead faith. Their leader is gone. Now, we're going to all hide away. We praise the Lord for the ladies. Courageously went to the tomb. You know who's at the tomb? Roman soldiers. Do you think maybe they thought maybe we would lose our lives? Probably they didn't care. Obviously, they went there. We praise the Lord for the ladies in our church, for your faithfulness, for bringing your children to church, for being in God's house, for the things that you do. Praise the Lord for you. I'll tell you what, in many churches in this country, if not for ladies, the churches would be closed. Because they're the spiritual leaders in their home. It should be the other way. But let me tell you, praise the Lord for these ladies, right? What a testimony that they bring. Number two, the first one we see, let me give you that point here. We see the woman's approach. And number two, what we see here is the angels at the scene. The angels at the scene. Did Satan expect such an event? I think hell was celebrating for 3 days. It was drums and guitars and everything else that you can imagine was drumming in hell. He is dead. That's it. Mankind has no hope. 3 days later, an earthquake. Everything shook. He is alive. Forevermore. You see that? Humanity was going once again with just like another day. Just like today. Some people just take this day as just another day. They go do their golfing. They go do their fishing. Some of them sleep the whole day out. Some they just go do another day. Some of them can't wait for the bars to open so they can indulge in the booze. But God's people look for their God who didn't disappoint them. The resurrection of Jesus Christ didn't go unknown in heaven. Heaven sent an angel to proclaim the good news that Jesus was not dead, but alive. Heaven was celebrating. He did it. It's finished. His work is finished. Hell was celebrating his death. Oh, we defeat them. We won the victory 3 days later. Oh, I could see the face of Satan. What happened? He's alive. Yes, he is. Heaven sent an angel to proclaim the good news that Jesus was not dead, but alive. There's a huge difference of how the woman and the angel approached Jesus to the tomb. Note this, the woman came to the tomb looking for a dead Jesus. The angels came to announce a living Jesus. Letter A there in your outline, the stone was rolled away. Look at verse 2 in our text. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You see that? He said, a stone, we don't have, there's no obstacle. I just sat on it. Obstacle one was removed. According to Mark chapter 16, verse 1 tells us, while the woman was make their way to the tomb to finish preparing the body for the burial, one of their concerns was to remove the stone. Think about it. No stone, it was a heavy rock in front of that opening. How those women are going to open that or roll that stone away? Obviously, it was part of their conversation. How are we going to get to the body? The stone represented the final or the finality of death. For them, that stone was an exclamation point at the end of the sentence of death. The stone said, he's gone forever. And the cruel reality of death. You know what? When somebody lays in a coffin, and when they close that coffin, is the reality of death. I remember that when my dad was laying in the coffin. And I remember something that I never forgot. You see the dead body in there, but after everybody left, those people came with the cover, or they're going to put the cover, and they rolled the body down. They have a lot of mechanism, and the body shook all the way down in order to and when I saw the thing closed, is the reality of death. That stone was the reality of death. Jesus was in the tomb, was buried there, was dead. Outside, the living still going on. That stone said is gone forever. In their mind, Jesus was dead, and so was their hope. Thank God that the Lord took care of the stone. Not to let Jesus out. It was he was long gone before that angel had arrived on the scene. You know why the angel moved the stone? So we can look in and see that the tomb is empty. We can look in and see the tomb. And then, listen, today there are many people, they keep going, try to prove that Jesus never rose from the dead. And we might go in the wrong tomb. Listen to me. Jesus rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. You go tell that to believers today. Go convince them that Jesus never rose from the dead. He is alive forevermore. And let me tell you, when the angel moved that stone, he's showing you and me, come and see. He's not here. Thank God that God took care of the stone, now mankind. One of the obstacles to faith is the stone that is not rolled away. Many people have a stone in their hearts. Unless they roll that stone from their hearts, guess what? They never have a open for God to come in. That's why we say they have hearts of stone. Too cold, too hard to listen to the way of God. They did not know that what was about to happen there, but the angel took care of that. Let it be, we see the Roman soldiers were removed. Look at Matthew 28:3. It says, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Verse 4 says, and for fear of him, the keepers, that's the Roman soldiers, did shake and became as dead men. Now let me tell you something. Those soldiers were men of war. They were killing machines, so to speak. They're prepared for any battle. And let me tell you, they laid down like dead men. They faked that they were dead. They want to make sure if they look at us, we're dead. They played that because they were afraid. You know, some people say, when I die, I'm going to tell God what he needs to hear. No, you're not. You will bow down and you will listen to what God has to say to you. You know, some people have the attitude to say, oh, I'm going to tell him what he needs to hear. Really? I have to say to those people, you were that ignorant. The soldiers were playing that, and these people, these men were men of war. And let me tell you, those men, if they let that, somebody stole that body from that tomb, they would be killed. These women were so intrigued with the stone at the door of the tomb that they totally forgot the soldiers that were guarding the tomb. They were plain dead. Matthew 27:62-67 tells us that the chief priests and the Pharisees were concerned that the prophecies of Jesus might actually come true, and they wanted the guard to be posted at the tomb. It is said, when infidels, unbelievers, have more faith in the Bible than believers do. They took Jesus' prophecy and Jesus' words literally. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they took Jesus' words literally. The reason why they sealed the tomb, the reason why they put soldiers at the tomb. You follow that? Where was the believers? They ran away. They didn't even believe that Jesus would come. They lost hope. Isn't that sad that when unbelievers believe the Bible more than believers? Why we believers don't take the Bible for what it says and live it out and make application in our own lives? You know why? Because we don't believe it. One Christian said to me one time, you cannot live by this book. It's, you know, we live in the 21st century. I looked at him, I said, you can't live by this book, but I try as much as I can because I love my Jesus. Do I fail? Yes. But I can get up and ask forgiveness and God will get me going and I keep following him. He rolled his eyes at me. I am telling you the truth. See, the unsaved world by their actions takes the second coming of Jesus more seriously than many Christians do. So they sealed the tomb with Pilate's seal and they posted a company of guards at the door. The detached soldiers stood in as an obstacle between the saints and the entrance of the tomb. However, when the angel appeared, he made a short work of the soldiers. They played that. Let me tell you, why in the news, Israel is in the news all the time. You tell me why. Because they take prophecy very seriously. Jesus promised that he's coming, and they know exactly where he's coming. And you know what? Many of us Christians live life like, maybe he's coming someday, who knows? Look at the prophecies. He's coming again, he said. They're taking it seriously. That's why Israel's in the news all the time. Any little thing there happens is in the news. Why? It's in the unsaved world. If only we could take the Bible that serious. Let us see, the saints were reminded. Look at verse 5 of our text. It says, and the angel appeared and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Look what he said. The angel reminded these ladies, said, he said this was going to happen. Why didn't you listen? See the place where he lay, he's not here. I mean, these verses are tremendous. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. If you have your Bible, you want to underline those words. As the angel began to speak to the woman that morning, the greatest obstacle of all was removed, unbelief. Unbelief is many times the problem of us Christians. They go through the motions of Christianity without any application because of unbelief. How can we expect the Lord's blessing without unbelief? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, maybe you would help me. Oh, no. I believe he will. How can we expect the Lord's guidance in our hearts if our hearts is full of unbelief? How can we live a life pleasing to the Lord if we don't believe that that his word can guide us through life? His message inspired them to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice what the angel reminded of them. Number one, the angel reminded them of the past. Look what it says in verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He said, I know what you hear. Let me remind you what happened to Jesus. He was crucified indeed. And you're looking for a dead Jesus. Let me remind you what he did. Let me tell you something, folks. We need to be reminded of what Jesus has done. We need to remember what Jesus done at Calvary's cross. When we see a cross, we should be reminded that he went there because of me, my sin, my wickedness. Not pointing finger at anybody else, me. Even if I was the only person on this world, Jesus would die for me. Calvary, I shed blood. That tremendous sacrifice that Jesus went through was because of me. He knew that 2,000 and some years later, I would be born to this world. And I needed a Savior. The angel reminded them of the past. And let me tell you, we Christians, we need to be reminded often of the past, what Jesus have done. Look at Calvary's cross. Look at the shed blood. Look what he did for you and me. Listen, we're so preoccupied with life sometimes. We're busy, 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 busy. We don't have time for nothing. You know what? When we stop and sit in a chair, life is gone. And we're old. And some people say, no, I'm going to enjoy the golden days. What, in a nursing home? With aches in every bone of your body? Is that what life should be about? No. We have to enjoy one day at a time, each day, and praise God that He gave us one day. I mean, sometimes maybe we should do, I mean, I'll tell you why, you should live your life, maybe something, we should look at priorities. What can I cut down? And live a simple life that glorifies God. I'll tell you what, this American culture is buy, 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 buy. You know, because I need this, I need this, I need this. Oh, goodness. Let me tell you, I grew up. I had no shoes. One pair of pants for the week, one shirt for the week, one pants for Sunday, one shirt for Sunday. My closet was very simple. I tell you what, I sometimes I walk in my closet, I'm like, oh my goodness, where this all this clothes came from? But sometimes, you know, I don't remind myself too. So number one, we see the angel remind them of the past, what Jesus have done. Number two, the angel remind them of the present. Look what it says in verse 6. He's not here, for He is risen. As He said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. So the angel tells them, you are here to in this tomb because you think Jesus is dead. No, He is risen. He's alive. Amen. My friend, this was the greatest proclamation ever to fall upon human ears. Jesus' death was the perfect eternal payment for sin. And let me tell you, it's the greatest hope for all of us. The loved ones that we have already departed from this world, believing in Jesus. When we pass from the scene, guess what? I hope that we're going to see them again. We're going to be reunited with them again. Without Jesus, that hope is gone. The hope of seeing them again does not exist. But with Jesus, we have that hope. Because they died in faith, believing. And we will die in faith, believing as well. Believing in His promises. You see, the angel remind them of the present. He's not here. He has risen. Present tense right there. You see, a dead Savior cannot save anyone. But a living Savior can save you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever lived to make intercession for them. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus rose from the dead, God the Father said, I'm satisfied. Now Jesus has proven that He was who He claimed to be all along. Now, He can declare His victory over death. Now we can look to Him for faith and be confident of His power to save anyone. That is the present state of affairs. Jesus lives. Our Redeemer lives. And anyone can get salvation. Number three, we see the angel remind them of the promise. Which promise? Look what it says in verse 6. He's not here, for He has risen. As He said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. They were reminded that Jesus' resurrection should not have taken them by surprise. If you look at the gospel, then Jesus said that that was going to happen. He openly said that. And you know what? It fell on deaf ears. They didn't believe it. They didn't take it seriously. And when it happened, they just totally forgot about it. They lost hope. What is our faith? What is their faith? They hide for fear. Let me tell you, and the angel remind them of the promise that Jesus made. Listen, when God promised something, it will come to pass. Are you looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, He's coming again. Oh yeah, maybe. He's coming again as He promised. And the Bible says that He will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. What happened? It happened. Then Jesus said He would be crucified at Calvary and raised from the dead. It happened. God keeps His promises. You know who don't keep His promises? We. We break our promises all the time. All right, so you go to this restaurant, you plan to have coffee with a friend, and you sit down half an hour later. You call the person up, hey, what happened? Oh, I decided I'm going to do something else, and I'm sitting here waiting for you. We break our promises all the time. Now God doesn't break His promises. Number four, the angels remind them of the proof. Look what it says in verse 6. He's not here, for he's risen, as He said, come and see where the place where the Lord lay. And the angel invite them to come inside of the tomb and see for themselves. Let me tell you this. If you're not saved here today, in your social media, you're not saved. Let me tell you, Jesus is inviting you to go in the tomb and look for yourself. Amen. Go search the internet. Go search for proof and make sure that you see and you know that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. Amen. Some people are so intrigued about finding out, oh, maybe Jesus really never rose from the dead. They come with all these stories that Jesus was alive inside the tomb and somehow came out. Let me tell you this. If you look at Roman history, many people were not making out of that scourge. When Jesus was scourged, many people would die right there. And one day, if you really look at history, and you understand, if you look in history for the open mind, you're going to see Jesus' body was so wounded that you don't even recognize him. They took flesh out of his body. There's no way he was going to survive that thing. And on top of that, they crucified him. Now, if you know about history and you put somebody open their arms on top of a cross and nail you there and in the body, you're gonna grasp for air the whole time. You end up dying in there. Now, you're telling me they took him out of that cross alive and put him in the tomb. And somehow, he moved that big rock after the beating and the crucifixion. Yeah, go ahead. Go try to find proof that he's dead. Jesus is alive forevermore. Amen. The angel announced that. And let me tell you, and praise the Lord for those who believe. It takes faith to believe. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. It takes faith. And you know what? I take my chances with Jesus. Amen. We see this as no sign of human intervention there. God did it all. He went to Calvary's cross. He paid that price. And he did it all, the resurrection, on his own. Number 5, we see the angel reminds them of God's plan. See this in verse 7 and verse 8. Look what it says. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. They shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. They were to go and share the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead. And indeed, he proved what he said. Let me tell you this. Isn't that what we do when we tell the lost people, when we witness and we call witness to them? What are we telling them? We give them the good news that Jesus lives. And some of them receive it. You did and I did. Number 3, you see the Savior's appearance. When they came, or when they thought that all hope was gone, and all the dreams were lost forever, Jesus showed up in the scene. Can you imagine the joy that invaded their hearts? Can you imagine the hope that once was dead, it was now rejuvenated? Jesus was alive, and that was no joke. Letter A, we see the significance of his appearance. Look at verse 9. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus, actually that's Matthew 28:9. Tell them, saying, Ho hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. As they were going to tell the others, Jesus himself met them in the way. And he came to give them approval, word of encouragement and hope. Can you imagine the joy of those disciples, those believers, to see Jesus alive again? They knew that he died. They knew the hope that once was lost. Folks, let me tell you this. I don't want to go extra time. I'm going extra time this morning, but let me tell you this. So many people that is hopeless in this world live with no hope. And if you want to see the rejuvenating hope in somebody's heart and when they receive Jesus as their Savior. I don't know if you have experienced that about leading someone to Christ, but the hope that comes and invades their heart, that's what God does. That's what God did that day. The joy that came to them. Let it be the worship of a joy of joyful believers. We see this in verse 9. They met Jesus. They were all overcome with love and joy that they fall at his feet and worship him. That is the natural reaction of those who love him. Isn't that what we do? Worship the Lord. Let us see the assurance of Jesus' words. Look what it says in verse 10 of Matthew 28. And he said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go unto Galilee, and there shall they see me. When the Lord spoke to those ladies, it was to comfort their hearts and confirm their mission. He assured them all is well and that the time to be afraid was over. Listen, folks, we as Christians, why should we live in fear? When we have the God of glory in our hearts, why live in fear? Why living in fear of circumstances? Why living in fear? Listen, folks, listen. Hear me well, okay? Nobody die out of time. Everybody die on time. Everyone has an appointment with our Maker. And let me tell you, when we die, we're going home. It's amazing. And everybody loves Jesus. Nobody wants to go see Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. When it comes, oh, I don't want to die. Why? Why are you so afraid of dying? We're just going to go home. When our life is over, when our mission is over on earth, we go home to see our great Savior, be with them for eternity. I conclude with this. Praise the Lord for life. Praise the Lord for His great resurrection. And praise the Lord for our great Redeemer. Because He lives, I live. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And those who don't believe and die hopelessly, they will never see heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, so much for the hope that we have as your children. Lord, the world might call us closed-minded, old-fashioned, but Lord, they call you all kinds of names as well. But we're still marching on as soldiers of the cross, looking for that city, looking for the day of our departure when we can be with you for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us from our sin. Thank you, Lord, for the great salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.